You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
Good afternoon, faith and family listeners. It's wonderful to be with you again for another faith and family time together. And, of course, this is Reverend Dr. Carolyn L. Pettigrew, as usual, your host. And we're bringing you interviews with gifted experts who share information that will help you and me, the listeners and the host, to live more abundant lives. You know, today we have been hearing so much about college debt. At the bachelor's level, the graduate level, the professional level, and beyond. In fact, as clergy, one of the things I'm understanding from my alma mater is that so many clergy are who've been called are not going into seminary because they can't pay off the debt that they will incur for a master's of divinity through being pastors of churches. And so that's disheartening. We thought for a while the administration was going to forgive that debt, but it doesn't look like it. And it seems like the average loan debt for higher education for students in Ohio is $36,000+. But we have a guest today who's going to help us get some answers on how we can still dream and fund our dreams. And today with us is Gwendolyn Williams Wade, a professional counselor and founder of Project Education Access. Good afternoon, Gwen.
Hi, how are you all?
Doing thank great. You for how about me. You?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. You know, you list yourself as a professional counselor, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us all about that. What does that mean when you say a professional counselor? Because we're talking about scholarship information. We're talking about people looking and dreaming about what they like to be in life. And sometimes they may be interested in being a professional counselor. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I am. I got my undergraduate degree in education. And as a teacher, I noticed kids with different needs. So I went back and I got some advanced instruction on special education, three different areas in that field. And I still noticed there are things going on with kids that I can't address as a teacher. That's when I decided to go back and get my master's in counseling. And I came out with a degree in guidance and counseling education. And that gave me the ability to work in a school setting or in a community setting. And I did all my work in the school setting, working in preschool through high school as a counselor. And after I retired, I said, I've got a lot of knowledge here, a lot of information. And it's not right to just sit on it and not
That's
use
right.
it, not share.
So I just decided I would establish this program. I did it, set it up originally with a gentleman that worked as a volunteer at our school. And we work together, and we just do it because we love it, because we know it, because we enjoy it. We just share the information and the guidance and the wisdom that we've gained over the years professionally. His field has to do with IT and technology. Mine, primarily education and addressing the special needs of students, all ages. And Project Education Access came out of that, having the knowledge and wanting to continue to work. And another thing that helped me decide to go in this direction, as opposed to setting up a private practice or going back to work for an agency, is I can do it my way. I'm not restricted by rules and expectations and things of that nature. And I can do it the way I feel it needs to be done. And it's been good. It's been good.
Well, I know you have quite a reputation for your dedication to young people in helping them with post-high school education. And it sounds like you either are going to college or technical school, art college, whatever you need, you're there to help them talk about their dreams, clarify, and find the funding for that. Now, we've mentioned Project Education Access, and that's what we're here to talk about today. And it's a post-secondary educational scholarship and career options program. That's quite broad and so helpful to so many young people. Can you tell us a little more about that, how you cover those three areas?
When you know the field, when you think about it, it's really not that broad. Every piece is a stepping stone to the next piece. Oftentimes, kids they'll be in high school or they'll come out of high school and they'll just not be sure what they want to do. They'll have interests and desires, likes, dislikes, and they haven't been able to visualize how they can develop those things into a career. So as a counselor, I did it. As a teacher, I did that. And it just seems second nature. Sometimes a young person may not want to go to college, but they may want to pursue a work field that concentrates or focuses on this or that or the other. They just need somebody to help them visualize what they like and how it can be a job, what they like and how it can be a career, what they're interested in, and how they can use it to pay their rent and survive economically. Yeah. And I did it as a teacher. I did it as a counselor. And now I'm just a person who likes working with people, and I continue to do that. Sometimes we just sit and we talk, and in the course of conversation, I listen. That's something that a lot of people don't have. I will listen to what you have to say. I'm not going to try to tell you anything or make you do anything or make you feel any kind of way. I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and then I'm going to tell you what I hear you saying to me. As a student, and these are just young people, not just kids that I work with, you may not agree with what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, well, it sounds to me that you're saying A, B, C, and D. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's something you never thought about. Maybe it's like, wow. Is that what you hear me say? Well, that's what it sounds like to me, but maybe not. Let's talk about it some more. So we start off that way, and then we get into, once we figure out what the person may want to do, may be interested in doing, like, oh, can you get a job in that? Is there a career in that? Can that take you somewhere? Well, let's look it up and see. Let's do some research. And the one thing, and well, one of many things that I insist upon is I can help you. I will not do it for you.
Yes.
It's not beneficial if I do the work and I give it to you. And oftentimes people will say, well, why don't you, you know, set up your own business and you can do. I said, but it's not about me can do, because I won't always be here. One day I'll die. I'll go on to glory. And this person that I've been spending time with needs to know how to do it for themselves or to do it for someone else or to do it for their child or their parent or whatever. And if I don't teach them, somebody doesn't teach them, then they don't know how to pursue it on their own. Don't pay me. I don't want money. I get gratification out of seeing you grow as an individual and accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And it's a lot of fun. It's for me, I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's non-threatening. And maybe that's primarily because we've been doing the majority of this work via the internet or the telephone, or I've even gotten comfortable with text messaging. You know, so when I retired initially, I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But whatever form of communication is comfortable for the person I'm working with, then I'll make the effort to learn how to do that with you so we can continue the communication. And it's very gratifying.
It sounds like a wonderful program, and what a wonderful gift you are giving to these young people of listening. Sometimes that's the first time they've had an adult to value what they're saying and their thoughts, and to be there with them, alongside of them, while they work through it and finally get to what it seems that their calling or their passion is. What a wonderful, wonderful gift, besides all of the information and expertise that you have. How long have you been doing this project, Education Access?
Well, I always have to ask my husband. I retired in 2009.
Okay. All right. So
2009 is when I came out, and I started. You know what? I can't even say I started right away. I just continued to do what I did every day, but I stopped doing it for pay for Columbus City Schools, and I started doing it for free for me because
yes.
I like to do it.
So that's at least 13 years. That is wonderful. And you say you don't.
And I had that.
They don't pay you a fee for this?
Oh no. Then I could never do it that way, because if I, you know, I have to take care of home first. So
sure.
if family needs me, then I'll have to cut back on what I can do for, you know, my students, my clients, and I'll have to take care of family. I'll have to take care of home first, and then I can come back to, you know, the work with the students. And that's another reason why it's so important that I teach them as much as I can, so
yes.
they can be independent when I'm not available.
Yes,
so
and
they
learning
can
life skills, though.
Exactly.
Learning life
so
skills.
They've got to be able to continue the process.
That's right. That's right. So you're saying you start with their interest. I'm looking at your outline here, and your interests, and it can be college, university, research. They research what they want to do. They're turning their interests into jobs and careers, and then they talk about how do they prepare, where do they go. So that's when they decide, okay, does this passion I have, this call I have, need a 4-year college or 2-year or technical school? What are some of the
exactly.
avenues that that your young people take?
Exactly. It all depends, you know. The earlier I can get with a student, the sooner we can begin the process, the more beneficial the information is. We start early. I'm working with a parent that was just referred to me by another parent that's in our group. And her child, I believe, is in 10th grade.
Okay.
So I get really excited when I can
yes.
start with people who are, you know, really young.
That's right.
But that's, you know, I also work with adults. So
okay.
I have no boundaries. But once we get a feel for what you want to do, even if it's, like I said, even if it's an 8th grader, and they're like, I think I like, okay, then I get those 8th graders connected to colleges, universities, schools of learning, programs that address the things they think they like.
Okay.
You know, if there's a leadership opportunity, if there's a workshop, if there's a series of a workshop online, whatever, that seems to hit what you mentioned you may be interested in, then I forward that stuff. And I don't just forward it to individual
A, B, or C. I forward it to all the people in the E group, because maybe there's someone in the E group that will look at it and say, you know what? That sounds kind of interesting. Let me check that out and see. You never know. And I also encourage people, if this is not for you, no problem. Share it with somebody else. It may turn someone else on. So we get that, we stir that pot, and we stimulate that learning, and we feed that desire to know more about this, that, or the other. And then, in turn, they'll come to me and ask me questions. I don't guarantee I know all the answers, but I look for them. I go to people who have other resources. I will reach out to, you know, coworkers and friends. I'll reach out to a stranger. Stranger seems to have some information that might be helpful for someone I'm working with. I don't hesitate to do that.
And I think that's an important skill for people to learn, how to use resources. And they're not always monetary or material, but often resources are other people, and other people love to give. They love to share. They love to know that they're being instrumental in helping someone find their passion and move into their plan for their life. You know, you mentioned several things. I guess I'm looking here, I'm thinking marketing, because you mentioned parents, you mentioned referrals, e-communications. Tell us about that. How does someone get to know about you?
Strictly by word of mouth. I'm in the process of setting up a Facebook page. And initially I thought, oh, it'd be great to establish a website. I go into a website, I go into dollars and cents and economics and complications, and I can do a little bit more and control things a little bit more with a Facebook page, because I'm just sharing the information and when it comes to communicating with individuals about specifics, then I share my cell phone number, my email address, and tell them, give me a call, reach out to me. We can have a private, you know, exchange, and I'll share information. But oftentimes, young people don't realize how, they don't know how to market themselves, how to sell themselves to a university, to a program, to a scholarship committee. They don't realize that if you're not exposed to some things, and if you're not able to share your exposure in writing or verbally, then people don't really get to know you. They don't really have a feel for you. You have to give people a reason to choose you for their school, for their department, for their program, for their scholarship. They're going to choose you because they see something in you that says potential promise.
Yes. And now the Facebook page, you're doing that. And that's a wonderful way to get yourself out there, because so many people, guests that I've had who have Facebook pages, they then take this interview that sort of summarizes what they're about, and they put it up on their Facebook page. That's a way to get that information out there in a cogent way. And then, of course, Facebook, you're putting your own information up there all the time, and people are seeing it and following you and liking you. Now, you mentioned also two things, parents and e-communication. So I know my neighbor was interested in scholarship information for her grandson that she was raising, and she talked with you, and you said, I'll put her on
email. I remember.
Tell us a little bit about that parental or grandparent, in that case, communication group, and the e-communications, the way you do that.
Oftentimes, the initial contact comes through an adult. And that's good, because I even if the initial contact is with a student, then I ask, I tell the student, I want to communicate with your parents. Mm-hmm. We need your parents involved in this process, because I'll just break it down, because bottom line is they'll have to pay.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
They'll have to pay for you to go and get your advanced training.
They'll have to provide for the younger ones the transportation for you to get from point A to point B. They've got to know what you're involved in. They've got to feel comfortable with me and feel comfortable with the legitimacy of what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
because you need their support. They're your parents. But I also say to the parents, if your child is not in this process with us, we go nowhere. You can't do it. As much as we want to do it for our children, we can't do it for them. I mean, we're talking about them post-secondary options. We're talking about once they graduate from high school. They'll be, you know, young adults or almost adults at that point, and they've got to be willing to take some ownership of these processes themselves, and they've got to know how.
Yeah.
So it's a group effort. I have kids that will email me. I have parents or call. I have parents that will do the same. I oftentimes will ask parents. They want to, and I understand because I'm a stranger, and they want to do it all. But I tell them, you got to have your kid involved. You know, your kid's got to understand that your child loves basketball or band or dance or cheerleading or art club, whatever. But they've got to be able to balance what they love, what they must do, the academic piece, and their desire to move forward. They've got to learn things like balancing their time, scheduling, planning, making things. This is important. You may not want to do it, especially right now, but this is an important piece of your total puzzle. You've got to figure out a way to make this fit into your very busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see the importance of it right now because you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, you're going to need this. Let me show you how cheerleading can be find a place in your life puzzle to show your sense of responsibility and dedication and things of that nature.
Yeah.
The marketing piece. Let me show you. And kids can do it better than parents, but because the kid has a passion for that activity.
Yeah.
So they've got to be a part of that process. And bottom line is, people know, we know when you're reading adult language and when you're reading kid language. You know, because, you know, especially if you're communicating with a kid verbally and you're communicating in writing, if this kid is not speaking the same language that is written, you know, it creates doubt. We don't ever want to create doubt because we want people to hear and believe what you've put on paper.
So you're talking about integrity and authenticity.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That's important.
I want to continue this exciting conversation because this information certainly helps people to live more abundantly because they get in contact through brainstorming and being listened to their passions and their call. Why am I here? That's the question that every human being has. What is my meaning and purpose? But before we go on any further, can we give them a little bit of contact information?
Oh, gosh, yes. That's important.
That's very important. And we'll do it again before we end, too.
Oh, definitely. Again, my name and my email address are so much alike. My name is Gwendolyn. And it's long. I know it's long, but it's mine. I have to live with it my whole life. Gwendolyn C. Williams-Wade. So my email address is gcwwade820@gmail.com. My cell phone number, 614-560-1343.
So there you have it. Yeah.
That's me.
Williams Wade, founder of Project Education Access, professional counselor, and that's her contact information, and we'll give it to you again. But I wanted to, I was looking at your outline here, and we're talking about passions, we're talking about clarifying our call and our purpose and meaning on earth. I love the way you talk about looking at interests, for example, cheerleading or chess or whatever, and then finding the character building qualities that recommend that interest and form that person so that they can be recommended through that interest. The person
exactly.
reading the application sees, oh, they're developing leadership, punctuality, whatever the attributes may be. But there has to be a way to fund that. And so what about how do you link them up, or do you, with scholarships or financial aid?
Well, what I like to do is, like I said, find out. Initially, I'll ask for we call it a resume as an adult. Send me, but I break it down for kids. I need to know where you go to school, what grades you're in, what activities you're in school, what activities you're involved in the community. And the community piece is so important. I tell people all the time, there is more community service money out there than there is smart kid money.
Is that right?
And they look at me strangely, and I say, think about it. There can only be one smartest kid in the group. There can only be one smartest kid in the class. But there can be tons of leaders in the school,
right.
in the class, in the community, in the club. And what makes you, I've learned through what's referred to as the holistic evaluation process.
Mm-hmm.
That colleges, universities, programs are leaning toward, let me look at the total person.
Okay.
Not just the test score, not just a list of I was president of or
mm-hmm.
leader of. They want to see it all. They want to see your grades in school. They want to see your test scores. They want to see what you're involved. They definitely want to see what you're involved in the community. Those letters of recommendation that kids don't think about until sometimes their senior year, those are important. Every time you're involved in something and there's an adult supervisor, ask that adult supervisor if they would be comfortable writing you a general positive letter of recommendation. A kid can start collecting those when they're little, when they're in elementary school, when they're in middle school.
Is that right?
When they're, oh gosh, yes. I mean, and what you do is you keep those. And then say, you know, you have one from your fifth grade advisor of the whatever club. You can always pull that out and look at it and then go back when you're in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade and say, hi, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, remember me? This is the letter of recommendation you wrote me when I was in the whatever with you.
Oh, wow.
And this is what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You think you feel comfortable writing me a more current letter of recommendation? You never break those bonds. You keep those relationships. You hang on to those ties. Those are so important because we adults love watching our kids grow. We love looking at a child that we've impacted when they were young and watching them go through the paces and grow and develop and blossom. We love it. We eat it up. It's the warmest, fuzziest thing in the world. It's just a good feeling to know that you've touched somebody's life in a positive way and potentially made a difference in the direction that they've taken. So you want to keep those contacts as you get older. And you can always go back to those people. And they're going to take ownership of your development. I still do. I take ownership. It's like, hey, I knew you when you were 7.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
now you are 27.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing great things. And I'm owning a piece of that because I helped develop some piece of your character that led
mm-hmm.
you to be what you are today.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
are the kind of relationships. And that's all part of your marketing. But young people don't think about that.
They don't.
You're just
they
not
do.
Taught to think that way. But that's so important. And that's something that you have to, everything. You keep a folder, an envelope, a portfolio of everything that you've ever been involved in so you can go back to and ask those people, you know, and share with them what you've done and how they've impacted you and ask them to continue to support you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, and it's something that oftentimes kids aren't taught until, okay, you're in the, well, like the mindset of, you don't have to worry about getting letters of recommendation or taking college entrance tests and things of that nature until you get to be a senior. No, that's not planning. Not planning.
People, yeah, that is so important for our young people to know.
It is. And I see those are things I have to share with parents, because a child is not, the average kid is not going to say, yeah, this lady said I need to start taking an ACT or an SAT test in the 10th grade. You know, but you got to, and you don't know that until you've been in a situation where you see that there are certain populations of young people that start taking those kinds of tests in middle school. And you, what? In middle school? What? I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Well, who's doing that?
That's
amazing. You'd be surprised if who's doing that. It's being done a lot, but it's not being encouraged with a lot of our children. And the thing I would say to kids when I was working, I said, okay, it'll cost you $45 to take this test. Well, at that time, I could say, and it would fly, you spend $45 on a pair of sneakers. You
That's
spend
right.
$45 to get some weed put in your hair or
That's
get your nails
right.
done.
That's right.
Okay, then you got to be willing to spend $45 to invest in your future. And they would laugh at me, but they got the point.
They
understood
the
what
point.
I was saying. You've got to make some sacrifices. You can't put everything off. And our kids sometimes are too comfortable accepting the easy way. Well, so-and-so said I'd have to worry about that now. So-and-so said I'd have to do that until later.
Oh, no.
So-and-so said I don't, and we buy into that because it's cheap and it's easy, and we can have our money to spend it our way. We don't have to sacrifice the time. But then here we are at the last minute. We're chasing the time,
and
we're
gap.
Running out of time.
And gap.
Exactly.
Because we don't have things. I think of that before I go to break. It makes me think about when we were raising our children a number of years ago. But I think about our son. He was in a Catholic school, and they sent them over to a testing site for the SAT. We got a letter. We would like your child to report to this. They're going to take the SATs. Well, my husband took him over there, and they were small, of course. They were in elementary school as sixth graders. And he said, all the big kids, the high schoolers, what are these little kids doing here? And they said, we don't know. Our teachers just told us to come. Well, they took the SATs in sixth grade, and they had been identified.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what we received was packets of information regularly.
Yes.
First, they told us
yes.
how our children did, and then we received packages of information regularly for enrichment, for gifted, for
exactly.
Programs and all. And actually, one of those programs he went to at Earlham College one summer, and he enjoyed it. And even though there were all other colleges, mailing in and interested, he met friends. He stayed friends with them for a number of years and eventually went there as an undergraduate. He later went to graduate school, but as an undergraduate, and continued to have lifelong friends.
Exactly.
Because they identified these young people at sixth grade, these are gifted and talented children. We want to help their parents keep them that way, nurture those
uh-huh.
gifts. And they were our supports, and they told us, we will follow these children, and we will send you information so that you can select enrichment opportunities for them. And that seemed so early. You know, we weren't even putting it in context. But that is, and it worked well for a lifetime. And what you're saying is they may not be getting this proactive intervention through their schools, but through
exactly.
you and their parents, you are doing that very same thing. You're helping them to identify at very young
exactly.
ages their gifts and their talents, and everybody has them, not just one or two people
exactly.
in the earth, And
everybody.
They then can, you match them up with the field trips and the resource people and other resources so they can develop
exactly.
that, so that by the time they're in high school, juniors or seniors, they've got it covered. They've got their references, they've got
exactly.
their brainstorming done, and they're ready to be on their way. Well, Gwendolyn, let's just take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah. Guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhea.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're with Gwendolyn Williams-Wade, and she is the founder of Project Education Access, and she's a professional counselor. Her contact cell is 614-560-1343, and her email is gcwade820@gmail.com. And we want you to write that down because you're going to want to contact her and find out all the wonderful information and resources she has to help you as an adult, if you're interested in career changes and all, and your young people to find and connect with their dreams and their meaning and purpose. Why are we here? Why am I here? What is it I'm supposed to do to contribute to this earth while I'm here? Now, we were talking about references and community involvement and scholarships. Now, do you get the names of scholarships and you send those out on your email blast? Is that how it works?
I get scholarships anywhere I can find them. There are, first I have to say, I'm very lucky. There are parents that are involved in my scholarship e-group that share. I mean, we're a sharing community, and they will send me. They will hear about scholarships, and they will send them to me and ask me to share them on the e-group because they know that it gets out there. I spend a lot of time connecting with search engines, with different organizations here locally and internationally. I look for scholarships. I have accounts with scholarships.com, with FastWeb, with a lot of the different search engines that a lot of people find overwhelming.
But you can handle it because you've got the experience.
Well, I started doing this with my own children. I've got three children, and I started doing this with them. They're adults now, when they were young, and learning about things. And at that time, I was an elementary counselor. And then eventually, the opportunity presented itself for me to go to high school. And my husband encouraged me. He said, "You did it with our kids. You did it with their friends." He said, "Go do it for other people's kids."
That's right.
And you know, the principal at Warner Bridge High School, she came to me and offered me a position at her school. And I said, "You sure you want to do this?" Because I was coming up from elementary. And she said, "Yes." And I said to her, Laura Commodore, I'll always remember, I said, "On one condition, I said, promise me that if I don't make the cut, if I'm not giving you what you think you need, tell me and I'll leave. I'll disgracefully leave and walk off into the sunset." She said, "Deal." And it was heaven. I absolutely loved the work and I was very comfortable with it. And I got a chance to see for myself what that foundation in elementary education did for me.
Yes.
Because that first week of school, I walked into the main office and I ran into a parent that I'd known as an elementary parent. And all five of her daughters went to the elementary school I was working with. And then I was working with two of them at Walnut Ridge High School.
Wonderful.
So that was when I realized, I said, and so the relationship was already established. And there were several coworkers that had doubts about me because, you know, I was that girl coming up from elementary school. But the parents, they made me credible. You know, they vouched for me. And the relationships, like I said, were already established. And it was just a wonderful experience for me. And I just, like I said, I brought the information and the knowledge that I gained with my own, working with my own children
yes.
and their friends, and I continued to share it with other people. And it's just a thing of, tell me what you need. And I tell parents, maybe I won't know the answer, but I'll do the best
okay.
I can
find
to find it out.
That's right.
You know, and if it's just referring you to someone with more knowledge,
that's exactly
you know, I'll take
right.
it as far as I can go. But because when I learn, parents learn. When parents learn, I learn. We share. We share. And I connected with parents, work with parents all across the country, even on the college level,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That needed looking for scholarship money. And it was just a blessing. I talked to this mom. And I convinced her, ask your ex-husband. And she was adamant about how it was not going to work. It wasn't worth the effort, you know, that kind of thing. Her daughter had gotten this dream internship that was going to lead to a job. And she was so excited, but she didn't have enough money to finish her last semester in school. And I was frustrated for her. And we did things like role play how she could approach her ex-husband, her daughter's father, about this money.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, no. I mean, we shared some tears. And I kept saying, but what have you got to lose? And at that point, it was like, we have nothing to lose.
That's
we have
right.
got to try. And every scenario she gave me, then we come up with another way to approach him, and God bless, he gave her the money. He gave her what she needed to finish school, and that was the most. And I have never met this lady. I've never met her daughter, but we still communicate via email, and I just feel so close to her because that in itself was a blessing. That was truly a blessing.
That was needed a blessing. Somebody
build up her confidence and say, no, you can do this. And her daughter's grown out there. I think she's in California somewhere, you know, developing
her degree.
Career. Exactly. And it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's just it's a team effort. And we can all work together and we can help each other. And then we can help, you know, once we get our own through, we can help somebody else get theirs through. And it's just really, I love it. I really love doing it, and as long as I can, I will.
Yes, it's exciting. And you have been given the opportunities and the skills and all, and you are using them, continuing to use them for the benefit of others, and it's very rewarding for you, and it's even very rewarding listening to you talk about it. And what I was speaking up earlier about my son's school and the SAT, years ago when I was growing up, you had counselors that were in every school, and they did so much of this if there was a need. We don't have that now. So we need you, your partner, and more people like you to help our parents because it's very difficult to find colleges, to find ways to market yourself. I love that concept that the student needs to be attuned to marketing themselves. That was something I grew up with because my parents and my friends' parents, we were all aware of the future, even as elementary kids. But now we need to be more intentional about making sure that our young people know these things and have these opportunities. And we know that in certain places it's a given. And so we know in other places it's not. And thank God you are there to help the ones that you're talking about. And what a wonderful success story. I want to ask you before we go, we're winding up a little bit. We have a few more minutes, but I want to talk about, you mentioned internships. Are you saying that you have been successful in locating, helping young people find internships that they can have as they're in college and sort of help fund their way through college?
Oh, yeah. There's so much out there. And it's just, the key is knowing where to go to find it, how to look for it, and what to have once you find them, what you have to have ready to take with you to the table.
Okay.
And I have learned from a lot of, like I said, the scholarship search engines that I connect with, they offer internships all over the country, all over the world.
Isn't
There's
that
so
wonderful.
Much out there, and we don't know, so we don't go after these opportunities. Kids, I try to work with kids and get them to understand, kids and parents too, the importance of your job, along with being a college student, is to go to the financial aid office at least once a week and check the board where they post scholarship offerings and internships. Go to the office of your Department of Education, Engineering, the Psychology, whatever it is, and there's every department has a board somewhere where they post these opportunities, and you need to go and you need to look and you need to do it on a regular, consistent basis.
Yes.
Because then the people in the office, they get to know your face. They
and
know
so
who
then
your name.
Something comes across their desk and they call you and tell you about it.
Exactly. And it's funny, I learned that from my oldest daughter. She would go, I mean, I tell her these things, but you don't think your kids will listen to you. She would be down the path of every door, her department, because she majored in criminal justice as an undergrad, And she was a resident advisor, and all of these things brought other opportunities.
Yes.
And she was in those offices consistently, so people would see scholarships and would remember her name or remember her face or remember information mm-hmm. she had shared, mm-hmm. and they pull things aside. And
yes.
then she got wise and said, well, if you ever see anything, here's my number or here's mm-hmm. my email address.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started reaching out to her. And I remember she connected with a scholarship at the University of Cincinnati that she continued to get, and she got it every year. And she was in her final year of school. This child, she didn't, God bless her soul, she told us, here, you and Dad keep this money for her sister and brother, for Aaron and Anthony. She said, because I have enough, I'm
okay.
going to be okay. And
okay.
she was, which I thought was quite generous.
Yeah.
And she said, but she got her very last semester of school, she got another scholarship. I was like, gee, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to put it aside. I'm going back to graduate school.
Sure.
So they just can't.
It's important. And she had the skills that she had learned from you. Because what I heard you saying is early on, you need to develop a portfolio.
Oh,
even
yeah.
from elementary
oh,
school.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of those that kept everything. And mm-hmm. you need to start keeping everything in elementary. Keep that portfolio together. People who will write references for you. And relationships.
Exactly.
What you're underscoring too
oh,
is
yeah.
relationships by going to those offices and being pleasant,
exactly.
and kind, and you know all of that. You build a relationship where likability. People are rooting for you, and then they help you. And that is
mm-hmm.
definitely the story that you're telling about your daughter. And I think it's so enlightening. To know that all the different major offices, education or financial aid or psychology or social work or whatever education, they're posting these internships.
That's
news to me.
Internships, scholarships, any information that will help students in their department, they're going to put it out there.
Yes.
Because they want you, they want their people to get those, have those opportunities.
Yes.
And it's just, kids will never understand the importance of being kind and pleasant. I was
yes.
blessed. All three of mine had great personalities.
Yes.
And knew how we paid for those braces, so they turn on that smile.
That's
but they
right.
just they knew how to be polite and kind.
And kind. It
and
doesn't
people
cost anything.
Right. They don't necessarily, they may not remember your name.
Yes.
But they'll remember that person, that short girl or that tall boy,
and that interaction.
All those,
they'll
exactly.
remember that
they'll
interaction.
Remember that experience, and they will look for you based on what they remember.
That's right.
And then the next time they see that smile or whatever, they'll say, "What's your name again?"
That's
that
right.
kind of thing.
Well, this is
and that's
just
being pleasant.
That is, and it doesn't cost anything. Well,
exactly.
this has just been wonderful. I want our family, Faith and Family listeners to remember again that we're talking with Gwendolyn Williams-Wade, and Gwendolyn is the founder of Project Education Access. And we really just scratched the surface because we haven't talked about the technology and all of that. So you'll want to contact Gwendolyn Williams-Wade and get on her email list. And it's Project Education Access. She's a professional counselor, retired now, but very, very active in helping people. Her cell is 614-560-1343. And Gwendolyn, would you give us your email again?
That email address is gcwwade820@gmail.com.
You know, you've told us some success stories, including your own daughter, persistence. She had persistence and all of that. And what would be some last words that you might want our listeners to remember before we go?
I think we were blessed. My husband and I were blessed. All three of our kids went to college. The girls pretty much bachelor's and master's, totally free. And like I said, that's how I learned a lot of this. But since, you know, my kids have come out and grown up, I've worked with one young man that was just gifted by God. He was he grew up in the foster care system, went in when he was like six. His mom passed, and that child, when I met him, he was drenched in scholarship opportunities. But he has since gone on to, we connected, we've become close, and we stay close over the years. This child is just, he's just completed his PhD. I've known him for, he was a scholar when I met him, it was in 2012. Now he's got his PhD, and it's 2022.
That's wonderful.
He's made his way all the way from Ohio to California. He is lived in and visited every continent in the world. He has his goal in life is to be the United States Secretary of Transportation. And I really think this young black man will do that. He will achieve that. And he has, whenever I say I have a student, he's an engineer or he's majoring in engineering, he said, give him my number. Give him my number, give him my email address. The last time I asked him about somebody, he was working in Korea. He said, here, this something about WhatsApp. He said, this is the best way to reach me. He will help anyone. He is continually giving back and reaching out and trying to help other people
also.
Through.
You
exactly.
have to be generative also. Well, you know.
The blessing is I met him, so I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Well, Gwendolyn, this has been a joy to talk with you and to hear all about your program. Our listeners, I know, will be wanting to join and sign up. And I just thank you for this being with us this afternoon. And we usually close with a poem or prayer or something. And I'm going to do that now. And thank you, Gwendolyn, for being with us and sharing your program of Project Education Access, Ms. Gwendolyn Williams-Wade. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And don't hesitate. Call me, email me. I'm flexible. Reach out. I'd love to help somebody help somebody.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, listeners, just a closing word from Thorns and Thrones by B.J. Hoff. It's an out-of-print book, but a wonderful book of encouraging words. And I thought this was appropriate today since we're talking about our young students and young people. His plan for me. We see your hand, Lord, in everything around our students, our teachers, and those who guide their lives. And in every aspect of our students' lives, we seek your will. Our students see your plan, Lord, and they want to see it more clearly in all the years behind them and in the days and years to come. Our students, their teachers, and all who guide them will trust you still. See you next time, and thank you for being with Faith and Family. Goodbye. We love you, Lord.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean. And when I start my day, look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountaintops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.